Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Speaking of MVP caliber quarterbacks, let's go to the guest line where Drake May, quarterback of the New England Patriots, joins us here on WEEI Afternoons. Drake May is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health, with 6 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. By Windward Mental Health, start your healing journey now at windwardmentalhealth.com. And by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Drake May, how was your mini bye weekend after that win on Thursday night?
What's going on? Yeah, it's good to get a win. Good to enjoy the three-day weekend. I know after, Thursday night, you always want to come up with a win. And it was good to get back in and get ready for Cincinnati.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Fitzy.
No, I was just going to ask him if he had a chance to watch any football this weekend like the rest of us, Drake. Obviously, we usually focus on you guys on Sunday, but with Patriots on Thursday, we got to watch a little rest of the NFL. Did you get a chance to do so?
Yeah, I did. It's a little weird not playing. I almost feel like something's wrong. But, no, I got a chance to watch a little bit and spend some time, rest up, and get ready to go for the second half. Really, the second half of the season almost feels like. So, that was good.
So, Drake, I know you've probably turned the page to getting ready for the Bengals in this week, but we haven't had a chance to talk to you since Thursday night. So I wanted to go back, and the first guy I wanted to touch on and ask you about was Travion Henderson stepping up. He steps up with the big plays in Tampa, and then against the Jets, it was a couple more, three more touchdowns, some really tough yards, kind of lowering his shoulders and plowing through people. What'd you think about your rookie running back there?
Yeah, just so proud, Travion. So proud of how the approach, stepping up with Ramondre out and kind of getting thrown in the fire, and he's done a great job responding. He's got, 5 touchdowns the past 2 weeks. He's just doing all the right things, and he cares. He cares a lot, and I think the biggest thing, he's just keeps on going and asking questions and wants to get better, and he's running hard, finishing runs. It sets the tone for those guys up front to want to block for him, and he's catching it out of the backfield great. So I look forward to, continue with him and get some guys back, and it'll be fun.
Drake, so you're a couple days removed from the win on Thursday night against the Jets. What did you think you guys did best? What do you think went well for you guys? And also, could you tell us exactly how that sequence worked out in the third quarter where you were rolling to your right, looked like you were going to run or go out of bounds, and then you found Steph Diggs for that great improvisational play that I think really just kind of cemented the game for you guys?
Yeah, I thought we were good on first down. I thought we had some explosive plays on first down. I thought we ran the ball. We threw the ball on first down. We were kind of, multiple on first down. And then, I think the guys were great at, really all night protection-wise. I really had all day, back there from those guys and just trying to do my part of getting different guys. And so that's one of the best things about our team is, it's a a new guy every week, and guys, different guys make multiple plays a game. So just trying to do my part, spread the ball around. And, yeah, on that one, just trying to, you know, keep the play alive as long as I can to remain a passer. And Steph made, you know, a good play. And, like I said, just try to remain a passer as long as I can and, you know, kind of keep the thread of both, you know, possibility.
Patriots quarterback Drake May here on a Patriots Monday on WEEI Afternoons. Drake, one of those touchdowns to Travion Henderson, the through the air, he leaked out of the backfield, looked like he ran a little corner. They had a confusion. After the touchdown, you were the cameras caught you pointing to the sideline, and we've seen that a couple times here. When you're doing that, are you pointing to Josh? Are you acknowledging, yeah, you drew it up and it worked out? Like, what's going on there when we see that?
Some of them I think are great calls, and some of those kind of just become a habit. I think just give the coaches, you know, little details credit, you know, after the play. You know, it's always us that make the plays, but, you know, they'll always say the players make them make the plays go. But, you know, credit to them for all the hard work they put in. I don't think enough is, you know, said about coaches and how much time they spend. So I always try to give a little credit to the sideline, the position coaches and Coach McDaniels for what they do.
Obviously, it was really special. Also, Thursday, you guys were the only game in town and on TV, and you had a chance to sit on the set of Amazon Prime Sports Video NFL coverage with Coach Vrabel, and you guys had a great chat talking about how much each of you guys mean to each other and how far you guys think this can go. And of course, the fans were there chanting MVP at you once again. Can you just talk about how special a moment that was with your coach and all those fans after that big win?
Yeah, I think we love playing for him. I think we, you know, every week we, you know, look forward to playing for Coach, you know, seeing what he has to say in team meetings to get us better and seeing, you know, him coach us hard, but at the same time care about us and, you know, want us to be the best versions of ourselves and wants to win. So I think we all share that in common. And I think it's cool when you see, you share that in common, wanting to win and wanting to win bad and, you know, want to do whatever it takes. So like I said, he's been a big part of what we do, and we're just trying to keep going and keep it one week at a time.
During that post-game sit-down on Amazon Prime, Coach Vrabel acknowledged or admitted that part of the reason he came to New England, wanted to come to New England, was to coach you. How do you react to something like that? Is it humbling? Is it cool? Like, what was your reaction when you heard that?
Yeah, my thought is to keep on, you know, playing and you know, prove them. I have to keep on playing and know that I got to do my part, you know, every week. And you know, it's awesome to hear that from your head coach, and it makes you want to, you know, play better and keep on, you know, kind of keep on winning games, because that's what matters, and that's what, kind of, like I said, you know, make him, you know, want to, you know, coach us harder and support his quarterback and have my back even more.
Drake, my, you know, a lot of people that talk to you obviously have kids who probably get to watch you and follow you as well, and my older boy, my 12-year-old, is a huge fan of yours, and I promised him I'd ask this question for him. He wanted to know, what has been the biggest challenge so far in your journey this season to being so consistent and awesome?
Consistent and awesome. Well, I'll tell him he's the man. I think just take it one week at a time. You know, not to live in, you know, the future or the past. Just try to go one week at a time. And I think the biggest thing is just enjoy it. I think enjoy kind of you know, showing up to work and showing up to, you know, blessed to play this position and play for the Patriots. Just enjoy it when, you know, while it goes. I think the season goes by fast. So just try to enjoy it with the teammates and the guys around me and know that, you know, what awesome time it is to, you know, play in this organization and just got to keep it going.
Drake, it seemed like you guys had the opportunity to maybe take some easy outs last week, you know, skip some meetings, you know, miss 25 minutes of meetings here or go inside and practice instead of being outside. You guys, as leadership, apparently chose not to do that. How did that decision come about? Was it easy? Are you proud of the decision you guys made? And do you think that says something about who you are and where you're trying to go?
Yeah, I don't think it's that big a deal. I mean, he thinks, you know, with you know, whether sometimes it's raining out here, sometimes it's cold out here, we want to, you know, embrace the elements, and that's what they've done here in the past. And I think part of it is just, you know, embracing this weather and know it can be an advantage for us. And I think, you know, practicing out there in windy conditions or cold conditions just, you know, prepares us for when, you know, some of these, you know, night games that we've had or, you know, the Monday night coming up. But, you know, really, I think just, like I said, just knowing that, you know, this sport is played outside for a majority of the teams. And the one it's not, it's the one-off. So, but this is football weather.
Drake, it really seems like your relationship also with Will Campbell these days is at, in a great place, which is so very important considering what high draft picks you guys were for the Pats and how that relationship between a QB and his left tackle should be. We all kind of love that moment when you're doing your post-game presser and Will Campbell comes in and you turn around, you smiled and you laughed and you said, "Get out of here, Rook." You guys really have like a... Is there like a great on-field relationship with a friendship that mirrors off the field as well?
Yeah, Big Country, he's been awesome. I think he's probably the way he's kind of handled it. I think we're in a similar situation. Top pick, leaving college early and kind of up here on our own from the South. So just been cool for us to kind of share the similar journey and share some of my experiences with him. And he's been him and some other rookies we have, and Jared and Travion, they've been a great class, and Kyle and Craig on the defensive side. So proud of what they've done as a rookie class, and I think Will's just coming to work and coming to practice. Really every day, he's one of our best practice players, and it shows up in the games, and it's fun kind of sharing our accents. I think his is a lot stronger than mine, so it's fun to hear that, and I think that's the best thing about it is just like I said, sharing some similar experiences and sharing what I learned from last year and knowing, what a long season it was compared to college. So it's also cool being, young and, both kind of living through the same, living the same kind of life.
Drake May here with us on a Patriots Monday on WEEI Afternoons. Drake, Coach Vrabel has started saying no naps. He's been throwing that phrase around. I think he may have even gestured it to you when you were out on the field offensively at one point during the game on Thursday night, kind of did the Steph Curry, put his hands to his cheeks. What does no naps mean? How do you take that, and what does it mean for this football team?
Yeah, it's been no plays off. It's no days off. It's what Coach Vrabel is, what he brings every day. It's no days off. It's no plays off. I think times when we get up in games offensively and kind of have a two-score lead or have a chance to put the game out of reach, we need to be at our best and still have that same urgency as we do in the beginning of a game. And I think he's trying to get that across to the team and knowing that good teams have a chance to come back on us and make it a game. So that's what we're trying to be, is no naps and don't take plays off, because every position, every play matters.
Drake, I'm not sure if you saw this, but a lot was made last week on social media and such of you being a multi-sport athlete, not just someone who played football and football only, with some of your basketball highlights and even some interesting pictures of Nick Saban and Steve Sarkisian scouting you at a basketball game. I'm just curious if you still believe playing multiple sports is great for the contemporary athlete, and did that help make you a better quarterback? Nick Saban, by the way, was on the Pat McAfee show the other day saying that if you weren't a quarterback, you probably could have played basketball at North Carolina and even maybe been a pro hooper.
I'm not sure about that. Coach, it's nice to say that, but I was a huge fan. Me and my brothers, we all played. It was football season, we put pads on, basketball season, and went to baseball season, so our favorite sport was really whichever season it was, and I think that's what our parents did growing up, and that's what I was just accustomed to. And I think nowadays, kids are so worried about trying to get to the highest level playing the same sport. I think playing different sports and different experiences and being in different situations is so good for you at a young age, and was so good for me. I'm a big fan of playing sports, playing different sports. I remember in high school, we had a football game. Our last football game was a Friday, and that next Tuesday, my junior year in high school, I was starting in the basketball game. So I loved it. I loved transitioning to sports, and it won some outside, basketball is inside, and playing whatever you can, whether it's different sports throughout the seasons. And I think it's such a huge advantage of playing quarterback and then in basketball having the ball at the end of your hand with the last shot, and just how similar it really is. And some of the sports translate and movement wise, and some don't, but I'm a huge fan of it, and hopefully one day have my own family and have my kids play as many as they want and as many as they can. So I'm a fan, and I know parents and some people are different opinionated, but obviously I think it may have worked out for me and my brothers.
Drake, your coach, Vrabel, dismissed this question, but I felt like I'd give you the opportunity because, you're familiar with this guy and he played for the Patriots. Cam Newton said the Patriots are fool's gold. That was his words, not mine. Do you hear those things? Do you react those things? Any comment on that?
Oh no, I don't even know what show he's on. I think they get paid to make remarks and make certain comments. So you know, just worried about what people in our organization think and worried about what we think and my teammates think. And, you know, everybody's going to have different opinions. So we just got to go out there on Sunday and worry about ourselves.
Speaking of going out there Sunday and worrying about yourselves, next game you are famously, a famous phrase here in New England, you're on to Cincinnati. What are you most looking forward to about this Bengals matchup? Looks like it won't be Joe Burrow, but you get someone else who can really chuck the rock in Joe Flacco.
Yeah, I think, you know, they got a high power off.
Oh, did we lose you, Drake?
You'll get on the road. You got us?
Yep, you're back.
I got you, buddy.
Yeah, looking forward to getting on the road again. They got some good players. They got a high power offense, and we got to do our part of going on the road again and you know, trying to get another one. So, you know, looking forward to that, and you know, been there before last year, so just trying to you know, get back on track.
All right, it's your favorite time of the interview. It's time for us to do a little may or may not.
May or may not.
It's time for a weekly peek.
May.
The likes, loves, mind, and style of New England's quarterback.
May not.
On WEEI Afternoons.
All right, Drake, I'm not even sure if I'm qualified to ask this question. I don't know what it means, but I'm sure you've come across it. 6-7, may or may not.
6-7. I'm not really sure what it means, but I'm for the trend, so I'd say may.
Yeah, I hear it about 50 times a day in my house with two young boys, Drake. Be glad you don't have any around just yet. Speaking of young kids and things they love, video games. A lot of guys are gamers, probably, especially on your team. Video games is a chill-out tool for you, may or may not.
Yeah, I could play some video games. You know, I grew up with your older brother, so we loved playing. So I could play some video games.
I'm going to ask this one on the fly, coming off the question about multi-sports and Saban saying you could have played at UNC. Drake May is the best basketball player in the Gillette Stadium locker room. May or may not?
Ooh. We've had this debate many times in the training room and the meal room. I like my chances. I like my chances a lot. I think you know, combination of some of those guys, some of the big guys, they can't move with me, and some of the DBs and receivers, I think they're too small. So I like my chances.
All right, we'll stay with the multi-sport subject. If you were not a quarterback, would you want to be a professional basketball player, may or may not?
Oh, for sure. I think the NBA, playing the NBA would be awesome. You know, went to Celtics game the other day, and, you know, the best sport, and it's a great sport, and it's fun to watch. I know they got a lot of games, so it's kind of one of those things that's really the ultimate, you know, next game mentality, and I think it's one of my favorites growing up playing basketball. I don't think I could, though. I don't know if I'm good enough, but I would try.
All right, growing up in the Charlotte area, I'm guessing you watched this guy, maybe you even crossed paths with him. Ric Flair is the greatest wrestler of all time, may or may not.
Ooh, that's a good one. I'd probably say probably may not. You know, I'm not sure. I'm a big fan of the Two Claps and Ric Flair, but I think there's some pretty good ones out there. And I know that the wrestle, you know, the entertainment wrestling is a big thing.
All right. Even though you're a young dude, you're married, homeowner as well now. So Drake May, as a handyman who loves do-it-yourself projects, may or may not.
Ooh. I'd like to try to get into it more. I probably need to be better. I think about the efforts there. I don't think the skills are there. So, everyone take that.
I don't know if this is allowed before I get the quarterback question of the week, but follow-up question, do you have a favorite wrestler of all time or the best wrestler of all time?
Favorite wrestler? I was an Undertaker fan.
Nice.
Okay. I was a fan of the Undertaker growing up, and I think real wrestling, I got into real wrestling a little bit. I think it was Burroughs was his name for the USA. He was real good and you know, competitive wrestling, but probably Undertaker and WWE stuff.
Awesome. Okay, time now for the quarterback question of the week. The quarterback question of the week is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health with 6 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. This week's question comes from Ricky in Rochester. What do you feel like you've improved most on this season, and what do you feel like you still need to most improve on this season?
What I've improved on most this season, I think just kind of navigating to the next play and knowing that the next play is, more important than what just happened, whether it was a one that I like to have back or one that we, you know, scored on. I think just knowing that next play and, you know, having that mentality and always, I think Coach Vrabel's, you know, helped me a lot with just, you know, moving on and kind of screw it and just go for the next one. And I think Steele could improve on is, I'm always trying to improve on, you know, commanding the offense, knowing the offense, getting to good plays, getting to better plays. I think the more I'm in this offense, the better it'll be and the better it'll get. And just trying to, you know, work hard at that and try to be the best I can every week.
All right, Drake, we appreciate you joining us this Monday. Good luck prepping and playing the Bengals, and we'll talk to you a week from today.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one. Okay.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Ty Law on a Ty Tuesday, brought to you by Corvus Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. By your New England Chevy dealers, together let's drive. By Apex Entertainment, visit 100,000 square feet of pure fun at Apex in Marlboro. And by 110 Grill, visit one of the 34 locations throughout New England for modern American cuisine in a trendy, casual atmosphere. Hello.
Oh, what's going on, guys? Good to be back. Good to be back.
What great up, to Ty? Great to have you back.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, Patriots will get the Bengals without Ja'Marr Chase, it seems like. I mean, there is an appeal, and maybe he gets
appealing what?
appealing what? Right?
Yeah, I mean,
is that the lowest of the low?
Yeah, I mean, I would rather for somebody to just come steal on me, punch me in the face. But I think if you spit on somebody, that's the lowest. The lowest is very disrespectful. So. Kudos to Jalen Ramsey, because if it was me, it'd have been on site as well. So
I'd have been outside the locker room waiting for him.
Absolutely. Right. You know what I mean? So I think, you know, what made it worse is he tried to lie about it. It's cameras and 4 and 5D everywhere. You can't get away with nothing nowadays. You know what I mean? So you can't do that and go out there and lie about it. So I think that just compounded the situation. And, you know, it's just something that he should know better, being one of the stars of the league, man. You don't know, spit in somebody's face. That's just like, you deserve an ass whooping for that.
What's all day long? The thing I you know, I always love to have you and talk about, like a guy like Ja'Marr Chase, now that you know he's not playing, what's that do for your, like, mindset, especially as a pass defense and especially as a corner?
I mean, for me, because I knew that would have probably been my job to cover him, you know what I mean, going in and cover the number one guy. So it's like having to refocus. And now, okay, now how do I get up for the next guy? Because I always look forward to going against the number one guy. So you don't want to play down. You got to play. You still got to play up. But sometimes it gets hard, you know, because you know the other guy is less than.
Right.
You know what I mean? But they don't have their quarterback. So you could look at it as a stat game. That's where, I can't get fined now. That's where all the bets go on in within the locker room with the DBs. You know what I mean? Say, like, hey, I bet you I get this pick. We sitting there putting in the pot, you know, just to go out there and still compete and make the game fun. But this should be an easy win, especially when they don't have, you know, now their top receivers, because I think that was the only way that they had a chance to be in the game anyway, you know, with somebody like Ja'Marr Chase. So this should be another, you know, easy win for the Patriots and setting them up for hopefully a bye in the playoffs.
When it comes to injuries, are you expecting that a lot of guys will be back? You look at what happened against the Bucs, then Jets, without Kayshon Booty. Now you've got Milton Williams out, Ramondre Stevenson. Going into this Bengals game, would you make sure that guys are back? Or if it's going to be an easy one, keep guys out another week?
I would sit the guys out as long as I could, because this is a game that you should win, even with the backups. You know what I mean? Cincinnati isn't a very good football team. They're missing their top guys. So you sit the guys out. Don't rush them back at all. You know what I mean? This is not that important. You're sitting in a great position right now. And, yeah, leave the guys sit there, because, man, if you don't beat the Cincinnati Bengals, something is wrong. You know what I mean? That's a problem.
Ty, when we talk about Christian Gonzalez, and, you know, we watch the games, and obviously – we don't know if he's in there saying, hey, Vrabes, put me on the best guy or move me around. Is it difficult? Because I never see him inside, right? Mm-hmm. So is it more difficult if you're an outside guy to travel and say, okay, we need you to cover a guy inside? Or is that something that you should be able to do if you're at that level?
If you're at that level, that's something that you should be able to do. And, of course, when you're going inside, you have more option routes, you know, from the guys when you have your, you know, your Edelmans and your Troy Browns and your Wes Welkers. So it's a thing in the inside where you call it option route. So they go opposite of your leverage.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if you're the top guy and if you want to get the bag, you got to be able to play every position, whether it's left, right. Some people are more comfortable playing on the right side than the left side. But if you want to be that guy, you have to go to the inside. So, for example, when I played, of course, I'm covering Keyshawn most of the game. But on third down, I got to go on the inside because we know the ball is going to Wayne Krubeck.
Right.
So I had to learn and adjust like that. But, again, I wanted that challenge. So I think Christian Gonzalez, he definitely has the ability to go do it. Does he want to do it?
What's missing out, though? Because even, like, whether it's a Sauce Gardner, who is the highest paid corner, or Patrick Surtain Jr., some of these other guys, I feel like you don't see that as much from corners nowadays.
Right.
Where is that getting lost? Is it getting lost in college? Is it getting lost in the NFL?
It has to be getting lost in the NFL, and I think whatever system that you're playing in, and I think, you know, in my opinion, when, you know, we had the corners out there like myself, Charles Woodson, Champ Bailey, Deion Sanders, Rod Woodson, we wanted that challenge to be the number one guy. You always tried to find a way to match up with the number one guy. It's still been a lot of great corners that they play left and right. I mean, let's take Seattle, for instance. I think Richard Sherman is a great cornerback, but he primarily stayed to the left.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's where he was more comfortable at. You know, played with Asante Samuel, you know, a great corner, Hall of Fame numbers. But guess what? He liked playing on the left because it's different footwork, you know, over there. Mm-hmm. So I kind of trained myself to be able to go both sides. And so it would never be a problem if I had to go over there and cover somebody, you know, on the right side of the field. You know what I mean? So I think it's a matter of preference and a matter of competing. And do you want it? In my opinion, you know what I mean? So I think Christian Gonzalez definitely has the talent, but you have to go and tell Coach Vrabel that I want to be that guy, because you have a target on your back. When you're making the big money, and if it's any receivers out there getting 100 yards, they're pointing at you. Same thing with the quarterback. It's going to all fall on you. So in the secondary, the big-name guy who has the most responsibility is going to have a target on his back, and everybody don't want that.
What do you think the target on Drake May's back is right now?
Oh, you know what, MVP? I mean, that's the – so people was looking at him, you know, and he's in that type of conversation right now. I think he's garnered the respect from opposing defense and say, hey, we got to play against this dude. But, again, for me, I always looked at it as, hey, I got to cover the receiver. I don't give a damn who the quarterback is. You know, if I got the receiver covered, what good is the quarterback if he can't get it through me? You know what I mean? So that was my mindset. But, again, Drake May, the way he distributes the ball and he places it, especially the long balls. So I was like, yo, that dude can play. You know what I mean? I'm very impressed with him. And if he keeps doing this, he will be in that MVP conversation if he keeps these numbers up.
When it comes to the turnaround here, which is somewhat miraculous, do you give – I'll give you a few choices, but do you give – if you had to give the most of the credit, would you give it to Mike Vrabel? Would you give it to Drake May? Would you give it to Josh McDaniels? Who would you give – some would give it to the schedule, yeah. like Cam Newton. But who do you give most of the credit to?
I would say – Mike Vrabel, for him to come in, and it was – you got to give Mike Vrabel his flowers because, first of all, he created a culture. He was the one that brought in Josh McDaniel. You know what I mean? So Mike Vrabel has to get the kudos, you know, for this. Josh McDaniels, if it was a assistant coach of the year, damn it, he'll be up for that because he's developing Drake May like he's – Tom Brady, and the numbers are showing. So, I mean, I'm impressed by what he's doing, but Mike Vrabel by far is the MVP.
See, I would go, and this would probably shock people, I would go with Robert Kraft. Because Robert Kraft is the one who
see
said...
See what happens? You get one guy, Nor'easter jersey with his name on it. It's unbelievable.
Out of Sam Kennedy's book.
No. He pours himself out for merch left and right.
Yeah, but you got to give Robert, because Robert is the guy...
I was going to say this, thank
that,
you.
...that hired Vrabel, right? And made the decision. I think, Ty, you talked about this last time.
He wanted
time.
Vrabel when he was right. available. He always wanted Vrabel.
But what he did was fire
Mayo. He hired Mayo over Vrabel.
But he fired Mayo and said...
Yeah, so you're giving him... He made a mistake, clearly, on Gerard Mayo, and I... had a lead not so long ago, giving him credit for being able to overcome that. And mm-hmm. He doesn't get the majority of the credit.
No.
I don't think. I mean, I
no.
Well, he could have kept Mayo here.
No, he couldn't have.
Or he couldn't have sweetened the pot good enough to maybe get Vrabel to turn down the Jets.
But you know what? Yeah. It's kind of like who gets the credit for a lot of times. People don't give, because he's so great, don't give Bill Belichick the credit for Tom Brady. You know what I mean?
Right.
Tom Brady wouldn't have been in the game
right
at the time if it was up to Mr. Kraft because he paid him all that damn money.
Right.
You know what I mean? Drew just signed a big contract.
Right.
So sometimes you got to think about Bill Belichick. He has some big ones to say, look, this is my guy after a guy got a $100 million contract. So I think Belichick's supposed to get more credit,
right,
you know, with introducing Tom Brady to the Patriots and sticking with him because, you know, if – we're not in that position, but as a owner, if we're in that position, if I gave a guy a $100 million contract, guess what? Hey, that's who playing. I don't give a damn what you say.
508 texter is reminding me on the Subaru of New England text line that Jim Nantz gave the credit to Elliot Wolf during the broadcast.
Why is he still here? Ken talks about him every Saturday. Like, how much credit do you give Elliot Wolf? None. Zero.
Well, yeah, because I think it's more of a Vrabel thing. But
look at what the draft was with Elliot Wolf, and then look at what it was this year.
And I think Ty's spot on, because we had this conversation before. If Bill doesn't say, first off, I'm a draft Brady, and then secondly go, I'm going to make him my starter,
right,
and puts Drew back in, Brady's probably a career backup, and we never know who Tom Brady is.
Right.
Because he probably doesn't get this.
If Brady's a career backup, then Belichick's a career defensive coordinator because he's fired.
No, but I think Bill would have always been, he would have been a great defensive coordinator and then got another opportunity to be a head coach, maybe seven.
Third?
But he don't get the credit for making the call, you know what I mean, or changing a culture. Mike Vrabel is a culture changer, and he has to get all the credit right now. And look at Drake May from year one to year two. That's what we want to see.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't achieve, greatness with Gerard Mayo. But I think he was still dealt a bad hand, you know, to be honest with you. But, hey, Vrabel, that was the right choice. And kudos to Mr. Kraft for making that, too, because that was a tough call. Because I really believed that, personally, he liked Gerard Mayo. You know what I mean? Yeah. But he wasn't fit for the job.
Courtney had a lead this morning about Steph Diggs and what a lot of media people thought about Steph Diggs coming in. And, you know, if anybody knows Divas, you know Divas. But
where you going with that, Greg? I mean, that's a wide receiver thing. I'm gonna put that out there. We're gonna leave the Divas to the wide receiver.
One time you told me you don't get out of bed for less than 25 grand.
He gonna sit there and keep saying that. I remember that. He just asked me what my parents' fee was.
And then you gave him.
That's what it is.
You said it's 25 grand. Get it all day. But when it comes to Steph Diggs and the way he's been this season, is that maturity? Is that a guy who needs to, you know, to act differently in order to be in the league the next bunch of years? Like, what? Or is that just we're being fooled by he's always like this first year?
I think it's experience and maturity at this point. You know, I think, you know, coming to New England, all the, you know, negative things that were surrounding him, the speculation, you know, in the offseason, you know, enjoying himself. He said, you know what? I got to play it straight now. His personal life is out on display, you know, from, you know, just having a new child with a superstar in Cardi B. So I think he's doing a great job of just keeping his head down and playing football. You know what I mean? Steph Diggs was before, he was that guy. He was, you know, loud. You know, he was the typical receiver.
Yeah.
But I think over time and with the experience now, he said, you know what? This is about playing football right now, and this is about leaving legacy. I got an opportunity to rewrite some of the things that were, you know, assumed about me or whatnot. Hey, you know, I can get a championship, and maybe, you know, I'm working on a Hall of Fame resume right now.
Right. Some people are saying that we're in the honeymoon stage right now, though, with Steph Diggs, and that's how it always starts with a new team, and everybody loves him, and then he falls off, and he becomes this problem in the locker room. I don't see him becoming that.
I can't see that. Either. I think, again, you know, from a maturity standpoint, all eyes is on him. He understands the culture, the New England. Mm-hmm. You're here now. You know what I mean? So I think he's going to be a
plus
model
he sees
citizen.
The finish line. Let's be
exactly.
honest. He's 32 years old.
Exactly.
I mean.
Do you think he's on the Patriots next year?
I would say yeah. I would say yeah.
I would say yeah because he's
on
not
the same
demanding.
Contract?
He's not on one of those monstrous contracts getting, you know, $25-35 million.
No. I don't mean that he's going to be overpaid. I mean that he's going to renegotiate in the offseason, that this was really a one-year deal.
Well, what's his number for next year? I don't know what the number is, because I think he looks at it.
I would bet everything I have that he's not on his contract to start next year.
I don't know what the contract is, Shyam. You know,
3 years, $69 million. I don't know the guarantees.
Because I look at it where he goes, all right, I see the finish line. I'm having a good year.
Right.
But even if I choose to say
four kids he has to pay for.
Right, but he's probably not going to hit a giant payday.
Yes, he will. If he continues and the Patriots win a playoff game, what are you talking about?
No, he's not going to hit a giant payday.
His base salary next year is $20 million.
Cardi B probably has more money than he does.
Maybe, that's true.
Yeah.
Maybe she has to pay him child support.
So, Shyam, $20
million? That's what his base salary is.
That's what his base salary is?
Yeah, that's perfect.
That's perfect.
He ain't getting more than that.
He ain't going to get more.
It's not about next season.
Because you got to think he got a lot of catches, but it's not a lot of touchdowns.
No.
It's not about next season. It's at the conclusion of this season. Just like Bregman, you want to get more years when you're 32, not instead of playing 1 year at 20 and then renegotiating at 33.
Yeah, but nobody's going to give him more years. Look at, and he's a better player, and at a similar age when he became a free agent, Davante Adams. And Davante Adams didn't get a giant payday. Like, I think Steph Diggs looks and goes, okay, I see the finish line. I'm probably not going to get a giant payday. Let me play somewhere where I know I could be here.
Is he over, like, let's say in, you know, lips to the our creator's ears that this would ever happen, but let's say they do go and target a legit number one in the offseason, who they're going to have to pay a ton of money to. Like, let's say A.J. Brown or whatever. Is Steph Diggs going to be okay staying here if you bring somebody like that in? And
I think his role would be.
Devontae
Adams is a year older.
He's not really featured right now. You know what I mean? He's going out there doing his job. So if they bring in a number one wide receiver because he was there at one point, you're going to be 32, 33 years old.
Right.
I mean, based on what Drake May looks like.
Why would you leave Drake May?
You have got to bring somebody in and see what they can do together. Like
Where
his salary is at, it still falls well below the top guy, right. The number one guy. So I think he'll be just fine.
Devontae Adams is a year older. He's making $24 million next year with the Rams. Right. And when Steph Diggs negotiated this offseason, the number of suitors was far smaller than it would be in this offseason because he was coming off an ACL injury.
But he's not going to be a $27 million a year wide receiver.
2 years, 54 is better than 1 year at 22.
But Steph Diggs also doesn't have an opt-out. Like the contract was designed so that the team could get out of it, not the player.
And
how many NFL players don't have opt-outs but renegotiate for a raise?
Yeah, but you'd have to hold out.
You got to hold out. Like,
I don't think you'll have to hold out. They got nothing but cash.
You can ask, but you may not receive.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can always go out there and ask.
Right. So if they say, like, Steph, we're going to give you $20 million next year, and he's like, no, I want 28. They're going to be like, nah, bro, you're playing for 20.
Look, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen at this point in his career. If he's making $20 million, if they need some cap relief, they're going to go to him and restructure. Might give him a year, but they say, you know what? We're going to give you a signing bonus.
Right.
You know what I mean? We're going to give you 12 to 14 million right now just to spread it out. So guess what? You're going to get that check, and then you're going to give you another year. And they're just going to just backlog it a little bit. But the trade-off for somebody at that age, you know, hey, I'm getting me a bigger check up front right now.
Yeah. He can also always do what you would do and just leave in the middle of camp.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can do that too. But you know what? I did it at 22, 23. Yeah. You can't do that at 32, 33. Yeah. That's a different ball game. Yeah. My ass was there.
Yeah. You don't have that leverage.
I ain't got that leverage.
High noon! Jones and Keith here on WEEI. It's a Tier Tuesday. We have tiered off all the NFL teams, Pats included. They're Super Bowl or bust, by the way.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
You can check the whole thing out at Jones and Keith, Twitter and Instagram. Go seek those out.
Yeah.
At Jones and Keith, at Keith21, at Jones WEEI. You can find those there. We'll have a Key for Madness for you coming up about 45 minutes from now every Tuesday at 12:45. But right now, on Tuesday at high noon, it's a Tommy Tuesday with Tommy Curran from NBC Sports Boston. He is brought to you by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive, and by Shaw's and Star Market. Go shopping and get rewarded. Tommy Curran, how are we doing this week?
Tremendous. How are you, boys?
Oh, excellent. We're doing great. We've been looking at sort of how things are shaping up in the AFC. We all got a chance to kick back and watch football this weekend with the Patriots playing on Thursday night. Do you think it was a positive weekend for the Patriots with a team like Kansas City losing, or a not-so-good weekend with a team like Denver winning and staying at least at the moment as the number one seed in the AFC?
I think it's a positive in that you didn't see anybody that really said to you, outside of Buffalo, holy crap, that team is unbeatable. And I don't know if Buffalo even said that, but you see why Josh Allen is kind of the gold standard right now in 2025. He's fairly unstoppable when he gets in a groove, and he's going to remain that way for a few more years. So, you know, we're having a lot of conversations right now about who the best quarterback in the league is at this moment, who you'd like to have for the next 5 years. I think Josh Allen still remains far and away the best quarterback. The interesting thing, I did a little exercise last night and looked at the upcoming opponents for each of the teams that the Patriots would be most in competition with. Indianapolis has every single game against a capable team. And if the low bar being Houston and Jacksonville. They're playing Jacksonville twice, Houston once. Every single game is against a good team. Denver's got four or five. Buffalo's got the Eagles. They have a litany of good teams. The Patriots have the Ravens and the Bills. So the schedule is very favorable for the Patriots, very favorable compared to these other teams who have semi-gauntlets down the stretch.
Yeah, and I wonder even how good are the Ravens. Like, I was watching some of that game this weekend, and I could maybe say, hey, it's a division game, whatever else, but just Lamar Jackson himself doesn't look right. So I know we keep saying that's one, and I even say, like, all right, even if they lose those two games, they're 13-4, but now I'm not even so sure how tough the Baltimore game is.
No, and I agree with you. You never know which Sunday you're going to get which blend of each team, Patriots included. You never know exactly what you're going to get. So, you know, Baltimore has mounted very, very little pass rush, and they can't protect. And some of that was based on the time that Lamar was out and the number of sacks taken. But, you know, Baltimore has that Achilles heel. The Achilles heel for Denver is they don't have any offensive potency at all. You know, the Achilles heel for the Bills is they cannot stop the run. And that's, to go back to the Patriots, that's one thing. How does your strength match up with the Achilles heel of an opponent? And that's one thing that I think the Patriots really would love to see develop over the last six games is a more potent running game that is getting you 4 to 5 on a regular basis and not home run runs that end up altering the overall statistics. I mean, they need to be able to line up and make 4 when they need it on first down, so you're in 2nd and 6 instead of 2nd and 9.
Yeah, I would look at potential Achilles heels, and the running game is one. You know, they've bogged down a little bit offensively in the red zone. Their slow starts on defense, probably another one. I do look at their defense, and I wonder how much of it I can truly believe in as like a championship-caliber defense. I guess the way to define that for me would be if they had to run into Lamar and Mahomes back-to-back, or they had to run into Allen and Lamar back-to-back, or whatever combination, is this defense good enough to take down 2 quarterbacks like that in a row? Do you think it's a championship-caliber defense?
At this juncture, I don't think it is, just based upon the fact that they are the worst team in the league in the red zone. They're like 71% touchdowns against, which I believe is 31st in the league in the red zone. And that's against a collection of teams, mostly, that aren't that good. So teams get inside their 20, they're scoring touchdowns 71% of the time, and they have yet to stop a team all season that's gotten 1st and 10 in a goal-to-go situation, or 1st and goal. They're 100% touchdown rate. So if you have a problem on first drives, which clearly the Patriots have had that, and you're down 7-0 against a good team who then gets in your red zone, it's a pretty good chance it's going to be 14-0. Now that's, you know, doomsaying and apocalyptic talk and what ifs on a negative side, but I'm sure that they're looking at it too and saying, God, what are we doing in the red zone that's allowing these touchdowns repeatedly every time someone gets in there?
How much of that is having a first year defensive play caller, or how much of that do you think is just on the players?
I think a lot of it's on the players. I think that, well, maybe some of it's on the play callers too. You know, for instance, the touchdown that was allowed, and I'm not locking in. To me, Mr. Armchair Defensive Coordinator, they had a red zone situation a couple weeks ago where it looked like they could have played zone and passed someone off, and they didn't. Gonzalez stuck with someone, or he got caught in the wash and ended up with an open touchdown. I think it might have been against Tampa.
Is that the Abuka one? Yeah.
I think it was the Abuka one. Yep. Yeah, thank you. you know, do they look at that and say, okay, that happened, so next time we do it this way? And that's the one thing about Bill Belichick teams that always was present. They would have 4 or 5 games where you're like, well, clearly this is a problem. And then they'd get in the lab and they'd fix it. So nothing is forever, I think, if you have time to spend on things as coaches. If you see an Achilles heel, you try and bolster it so that it doesn't remain an Achilles heel. So I think that would be something that you could look at, and it's probably a combo of trying to understand what these guys do best and how the communication is best down in the red zone. But that to me seems a spot that I would be leery of when I look at, is this a championship defense? You need to get off the field and settle for 3 sometimes inside the red zone.
Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, every Tuesday at high noon. Here on Jones and Keefe, not to give you the Tommy Curran surprise question of the week, Hunter Henry style, but were you surprised Milton Williams went on IR, especially based on the way Vrabel seemed to be talking about it in the aftermath of Thursday Night Football? There's like a mini bye after Thursday night. There's a bye week coming up. It didn't sound like Vrabel was talking about a guy who was going to be out for that long. Did that surprise you at all that he was placed on IR?
No, because clearly, I mean, they're not going to put their best player on IR if he's fine and dandy. I think a lot of us have had ankle sprains, and in the moment,
you feel like, hey, I can scoot around on this a little bit. And then an hour and a half later, it's an absolute balloon and you can't put any weight on it at all. So I'm not surprised. I think just based on that real life experience that I think we've all had with ankles at different times. So I didn't look at that. I just defer. I'm not surprised. They know better than us on injuries. Certainly if your best player has an ankle that's a balloon and you want him to be good down the stretch, put him on IR, bring other guys up so that you can fill in behind him.
Travion Henderson, over the last 3 weeks, he had, it was 19 touches, then 15, then 24 in the most recent game against the Jets. Do you think that should continue even when Ramondre Stevenson comes back, or how would you use Travion Henderson the rest of the way?
I don't think it should continue when Ramondre comes back, because, you know, there's just a certain amount of plays you have on offense and you want to divvy them up so one guy's not getting too much, especially if the strength of Ramondre is probably in between the tackles running in a way that it generally isn't for Henderson. But I do absolutely sense that Henderson is running with much, much more confidence right now and much more decisive about what he wants to do with the football when he gets it, which was coming. And you knew that he was going to, once he got used to the National Football League and regular season games, he would become more confident. But, you know, those red zone runs that he had last week were just ridiculously impressive, I thought. Both of them, one with power, a couple with power, and then one where he just stopped on a dime and left a Jets defender grasping at air. It just shows you that he does have unique explosive skill that they haven't had in the backfield for a while.
Time for this week's Drake Take from Tom E. Curran, presented by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. We were talking about this earlier in the show, Tom. Joe Burrow versus Drake May could have been the matchup on the field this week. Doesn't sound like that's going to be the case. Burrow turns 29 in December. He is missing a bunch of games for the third time in his career. A lot of people are worried about Drake May missing games given his play style, but he's in his early 20s. He's an MVP candidate. If you were going to start a franchise right now, Joe Burrow or Drake May, who would you start with?
I would take the 23-year-old player who doesn't get hurt all the time in a heartbeat. And Joe Burrow's tremendous, and I love the way he plays at the ends of games and his confidence and his athletic ability, but he just gets hurt too much. And that has absolutely punctured Cincinnati's hopes season after season since their Super Bowl appearance. So I would 1,000,000% take Drake May. And when you look at the 11 games played this season, the only time the Patriots have lost are when Drake May didn't play at his best. No one has yet really beaten Drake May. I mean, the unforced errors against the Raiders and the unforced errors against Pittsburgh were kind of on him. The nature of the picks, the nature of the fumble and pick against the Raiders, those were on him. So to me, I look at his performance and say the team could be 11-0 if he didn't have two. And you're allowed to have an off game in your second season in the league, especially early in the year. But there's very few guys that I would take in the league ahead of Drake May, if any, based upon his age. Now, if you want to say, who would you take for the rest of the season to be your quarterback for a team, I'd still have a hard time, but I don't think I would be able to say Drake May over Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes based upon what we've watched over the last 6 years from both of those guys. But I don't know if anybody I would take for the combination of toughness, leadership, on-field tone, and athleticism over Drake May.
Yeah, it is amazing when you think about even the most optimistic prediction for the season and the player wasn't this. Like, even if you thought they were going to win a bunch of games, I don't think anybody thought he'd get MVP votes, let alone might win the MVP. And that's kind of where we're at 11 games in.
Yeah, I mean, I remember saying, you know, we have to do the forecast, as we all do at the beginning of the season. I thought, you know, if he throws for 3,800 yards and he's 2-1 touchdown to interception, that's a great second year, because last year was 15-10. And right now, he actually has played as many games as he did. Actually, he has as many attempts right now as he did. Excuse me. He has as many plays. I think it's like 426 right now as he did through this point last year, or through the entirety of 2024.
So you can look at the stats, and it is apples to apples. He's played as many plays this year as he has last year, and just go apples to apples on things like average depth of target, yards per completion, and they're, you know, 40, 50% higher than they were last year. Finished the last season 15-10 with picks. I'm not positive where he is right now. It's like 5 picks.
20-5. Yeah, 20 touchdowns, 5 yeah. picks. Yeah.
So he's 4-1, and I did not think that that was about to happen.
No. No, I mean, I don't think anybody did. And I think even some of the most optimistic like us couldn't have him much higher than like the top 20 coming into the league. And now he might be, you know, the number one quarterback at this point in the MVP race. Tom, we've spent some time today after the Monday night game last night looking at the Raiders and kind of the disaster they've become. They're 2-8. If they were 8-2, I don't know about you, but I personally would be giving Brady a lot of credit. I'd say he has some influence and some input there. I'd imagine he has influence and input when it comes to the coach and quarterback, Pete Carroll and Geno Smith. It's not going well. How much influence, how much impact do you think Tom Brady has with that ownership group in Vegas?
Well, they've stated a number of times that he's got incredible impact and influence. So anything that doesn't work, I would think visits on Brady as well. And I think that that's inevitable. Like when a team is trying to rebuild, you have to give it the latitude. And if it does rebuild quickly, like the Patriots have, you have to give them the credit. I think it's slower to dole out blame for a team that sucks after it's been sucking because you don't expect a miraculous turnaround. You're like, well, they're still trying to figure out what they want. Do they want a 73-year-old coach? Do they want a retread quarterback? What do they want to be? They're getting information right now that indicates maybe we need to go in a different direction. That's why I would have been slower to criticize the Patriots if they were on their way to an 8-9 season and Drake May was, you know, not 20-5, but 17-8 touchdowns to interceptions. I would say at that point, no, they're on the right track. There's still a lot of work to do. But you're slow to blame a team when it's trying to rebuild, I think, as long as you're seeing progress. The Patriots of 2024, certainly the progress was not there. They got worse. They got more dysfunctional. And as a result, you know, that was, okay, that's a disaster. That's on them. There's no signs of life that you want to build around. So they had to make a change. But, you know, I think you also blame and look at, okay, what are they doing that did or didn't work? And I think they're getting information right now that, okay, this isn't working.
What did you think of the latest statement from Belichick Enterprises where you're saying, look, I know a lot of people think I'm going to take the Giants job, but fear not, I'm staying here in North Carolina.
I feel like he didn't write it.
Yeah.
Because knowing Bill as I do, he would never have misspelled waiver.
Oh, interesting.
See, we're not writers, Tom.
That was
snuck right by the goalie over here. I didn't see that. I didn't catch that.
Never would have misspelled waiver. They had it on the waiver wire as opposed to waiver in terms of being unsure. They had WAI. No, Bill wouldn't have done that. Bill would not make that mistake.
Interesting.
Okay.
Do you think he's at North Carolina next year?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Just out of spite.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just seriously. Hanging on for dear life. Yeah. Okay. Well, he's Tommy Curran. You can check out his work at NBC Sports Boston. He joins us every Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. We call it a Tommy Tuesday. Check him out on Thursday on WEEI Afternoons, and of course Sundays as well. Tom, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
I'll just add, too, they have shown signs of life, which would be encouraging if you're in the program and you're Bill Belichick to say it's working a little bit.
Mm.
So I think that to ignore the signs of life that they have shown over the last three or so games would be signs of life.
They may miss a bowl game when everybody gets invited to a bowl
game. Those signs went back away against Wake. But, yeah, okay.
I gotcha.
All right. Well, Tom, we'll talk next week. Thank you.
All right, guys.
Thank you.
Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. You can follow him on Twitter.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Back here on WEEI Afternoons, we go right to the guest line on a Wednesday at 3:45 to talk to ESPN's Adam Schefter. Schefter is brought to you by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive, and by Jeanne d'Arc Credit Union, tackling financial wellness since 1912. Stronger members, stronger communities. Learn more at jdcu.org. Mr. Schefter, how are we doing this week?
Hello there, gentlemen. How are we doing?
We're good. We're good. Team continues to win. We're having fun. It's Drake May's awesome. You know, everything's great. So not so much for the Bengals. And I wanted to start there with their star wide receiver. Ja'Marr Chase has the spitting incident with Jalen Ramsey, gets suspended. He appeals. It is upheld. Wondering what the reaction within the league is to something like that. I know they had the other incident earlier in the year with the Eagles-Cowboys game with a spitting incident. How frowned upon, I guess, is spitting in terms of the bad things that go on in a football field?
Well, it's about as degrading an act as you could ever engage in. And I don't know what year Ted graduated Colorado. What year was that, Ted? Was your last year there?
It was 94 season, Adam.
Okay, because I was trying to think here. There was an incident in Colorado where Bill Romanowski at one point spit on J.J. Stokes.
I remember like it was yesterday, you know, Adam. Yep.
Yeah, me too, because I covered that team. And the amount of attention that it got, like, that was considered as vile and offensive and as demeaning as you could do. Now, in this particular case, you've had it happen twice this year. Twice. Yeah, somebody said to me this morning, like, oh, the league should do a better job of spelling out, you know, spitting is not allowed. I'm like, they go over. They made it a point of emphasis saying sportsmanship is going to be a priority. There's going to be discipline if sportsmanship is not adhered to. Like, what do you want them to do? To say specifically you can't spit, you can't pick your nose and wipe it on your – like, what do you want them to do? It should be self-explanatory, but it's not. And guys resort to that, and obviously – it's going to be, well, in the case of Ja'Marr Chase, just think about this, okay? He spit at Jalen Ramsey. He is suspended for one game as the team is desperately trying to keep alive its playoff hopes, which already are on the outside looking in. He's now going to miss a do-or-die game for them. And not only is he going to miss that game, but it's going to cost him $507,000.
Yeah.
I don't care how much money you have or make. If you're going to be fined $507,000, or you're going to lose the opportunity to make $507,000, that would piss off anybody, I would think.
Oh, absolutely. That should be a huge deterrent moving forward. I just can't imagine somebody making the same mistake after seeing what he's getting hit with for loss of money. But, Adam, you know, a very interesting, maybe the first ever. I've tried to find another team that has done this, where a team, you know, trades their quarterback into the same division in midseason, like the Browns did to the Bengals. So they get Joe Flacco. He's traded there October 7th. Mike Tomlin was very critical, which is interesting that another coach and the coaches, the Steelers in the same division would be critical. But just your thoughts of Flacco getting traded, had you did that surprise you? And were you surprised to hear Mike Tomlin's kind of criticism of that trade?
Yeah, I think a lot of people were. You know, it was a direct shot at Andrew Berry, the general manager. And I think some people pointed out that Mike has an affection and a respect for Kevin Stefanski, the Browns coach. So somebody explained it, right or wrong, that it was almost it was a way to kind of support the head coach that he likes. Now, I don't know, maybe so, but you know, he clearly was against that, and he was worried that it was going to be a situation that was going to cost them dearly. And so, it almost did. You know, I think the Bengals are going to fall short here, but, yeah, he didn't like it.
So, Adam, another Sunday, another boatload of complaints about the officials, the officiating referees in the NFL. Is there any – do you think this will be an off-season of mild to significant change as far as – the way certain plays are officiated and certain penalties in the NFL?
This is an age-old issue. This is people being upset with officials. It happens every single year. And I'm sorry, but I just don't know that this year is any worse than any other year. Like, I've heard time and time again, coaches all upset and worked up about the state of officiate. Like, it's gone on for a long time. This is not a new phenomena. This is not new to this year. I've covered the league over 35 years. I don't think there's ever been a season where I haven't heard people pissed off about the officials.
Time now to get this week's Drake Take from Adam Schefter, presented by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. Adam, Cam Newton used the word fool's gold to describe the Patriots and Drake May. Do you believe there's any merit to that accusation that Drake May and the Patriots are fool's gold?
What does he mean by that? That that they're not a first place team, that they're not a playoff contender, that they're not a threat to go to the Super Bowl, that he's not a threat to win? Like, what does that mean, fool's gold?
Well, he kind of compared him to cubic zirconia or something cheap you could buy in the middle of the mall. He kind of pointed, as many
do. They're
not
what they appear.
Yeah, not what they appear. I think there was some strength of schedule crap in there, all of that.
Yeah, I don't believe that. I believe that, look, first of all, they've already achieved more than I think a lot of people expected them to. Do I think they're going to win the Super Bowl this year? No, I don't, but do I think they're going to win the division? I do. Do I think they're going to host a playoff game? Yes. Are they going to have a chance to make noise in the post? Yeah, they are. I don't know how that's going to go. Now, look, if they go one and done, then Cam will be proven right. That'll be fool's gold. The team will decide that in the postseason. But the fact that they're even being talked about is fool's gold at this point in time in a year when they're in a prime spot to win the division. Great. Like, call them fool's gold all you want. It doesn't mean anything to me. It's good TV. Good job, Cam. But the Patriots are going to have their say to prove him right or wrong in the postseason. That's all that matters.
That's it. Bottom line business, Adam. All right, so a team that I'm curious just to get your thoughts on, that the record would suggest they're not very good, but the metrics would say that they are a lot better than what their record would suggest, and that is the Kansas City Chiefs. They've lost two in a row. They are 5-5. Just your thoughts on what's going on in Kansas City. Do you see them being there and making the playoffs, or do you think that their issues are more serious than that?
Well, here's the deal. I think that, you know, they've won the division 9 straight years. This is going to be the first year in 10 years that they don't win the division. They're not going to win it this year. So I still think that they're probably going to make the playoffs. And I still think, like, if you're New England and your first playoff game is at home against the Chiefs, are you feeling good about that?
Not great. Not great.
Not great. No. No. So, you know, the Chiefs do have some issues, but their road to the Super Bowl is going to be longer and more challenging than it has been in other years. I don't put it past them at all that they could get there. I still think that team is a threat, but they're going to have to do it the longer, harder way than they've done in other years.
And Adam, we were bouncing this one around earlier on the show. Just wanted to get your pick. If you could pick any one quarterback to start any one game, regular season, playoff, et cetera, that you need to win now, because obviously we were all kind of leaning in on Drake May, who would you go with?
For MVP right now?
No, to just start one game that you had to win.
Drake May compared to who? What are my options? Like, what do we mean?
Lamar, Josh Allen, Mahomes, Stafford.
I could pick any quarter. I could pick one quarterback, any game to win the game.
Yes, sir.
Patrick Mahomes.
So you're going with chalk? Okay.
Hard
I see
you
what you
that.
Did there. All right, Adam. Appreciate you joining us. Yeah,
absolutely. Like, by the way, I'm happy if Drake proves us not to be fool's gold. I'm happy to go with him, but I'm not going there yet.
Hey, we're getting ahead of ourselves. We went through some down times. We have a quarterback again. We're getting a little giddy with excitement up here. So, yeah, we're maybe going a little too far. But we'll talk to you next week, Adam.
Thanks, Adam.
Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Joining us now from the West Coast, it is the play-by-play voice of the Boston Bruins, Judd Surratt, brought to you by Sports Etc., Boston's best hockey shop. And don't miss the Sports Etc. High School Hockey Skate and Stick Sale going on now through November 23rd. Take up to 35% off on select skates and sticks, 1303 Mass Ave in Arlington, or online at sportsetc.net. Judd, good morning. Thanks for getting up early this morning.
Good morning. How are you guys? So I'm just wondering, so the team has an off day here in Los Angeles. What would you guys be doing with that?
Ooh.
Well, I mean, I might try to get around in.
I know exactly what I'd
be doing. There is an awesome Marriott right by the arena. I was there in July. They have a great water slide, and you can head right across the street to the Disneyland. That's what Ken would do.
Well, Ken would go solo dolo.
Yeah. That's in Anaheim.
I thought you are in Anaheim. Is it the same thing?
No.
Oh, sorry. Half hour away.
What about Erewhon? What's the closest? Go try the Haley
Bieber
smoothie.
For Christmas. I'd say In-N-Out animal style, yes. Animal fries, In-N-Out burger. That would be what I would do in Cali. Oh, that sounds good right now. There you go. Especially, you know, here early in the morning, 6:30, getting the day started right.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, we know that what the Boston Bruins will be doing other than David Pastrnak and Morgan Geekie, and that is not scoring goals. That is what they will be doing today.
Well, offense was not their issue, though, Greg. It's how they're defending, you know, especially at crunch time. Whether it was Marco Sturm or Nikita Zadorov, the Bruins did not manage the game properly when they needed to. So last night, fine, you get down 2-0. It was going to be a tough game. You got the time change that you're going to deal with because you didn't have a chance to get out here early on. You got the injuries, obviously. You're playing a team you don't have a rivalry with. So you go down in a 2-0 hole, but you're eventually able to rally back, tie the game at 3. You've still got plenty of time there in the third period. How do you manage the game? If you look at how close the standings are around the NHL, and we'll take the Atlantic Division as an example, mm-hmm. 1 through 7 is separated by only 5 points. So that game last night, tie game, third period, you got to get at least a point out of it. But the Bruins frittered that away. They did that in the first game against Anaheim as well. That's going to add up at the end.
Judd, you talk about defensively. Well, how does the absence of McAvoy change the way they played defensively?
Oh, it's massive at both ends of the ice. Let's just start when he has the puck. His ability to be able to make that first pass so you can exit, or he can skate it out on his own. When he doesn't have the puck, his ability to close, how physical he can be, the way he reads plays, it's a substantial difference. But that said, everybody goes through these injuries. Some teams have more than others, but you have to be able to manage it. And for the Bruins, this is a serious challenge. Have no idea when he's going to get back. Yeah. It is good news that Elias Lindholm is on the trip. And maybe there's an opportunity that we see him as the Bruins make their way north here in Los Angeles and head into San Jose for their next game after that.
That was a gnarly injury, my Lord. We were talking about it the other day because unfortunately on the social medias, you can see it slowed down. Mm. And it's, God love hockey players. Yeah. Like, you got to give it to them.
Yeah. Oh, no, I give it to them all day. If I played in the NHL, I'd have a full cage on. Yeah. I'd be the one goofball out there with a full cage. Yeah.
Well, he's going to come back, you know, whenever that is. I have no idea. And again, hopefully he's okay and he recovers well and he's able to come back. But some guys play with a cage. Some guys play with a full bubble. It's not always easy. But, that'll at least give him the protection when he comes back that he can play the way he wants to. Again, it's not easy because a lot of times, even guys who play with a cage, Wiggy, or play with a bubble, they can't quite see the puck when it's at their feet the same way they would as if they were playing with a regular helmet without a bubble or a cage. Mm-hmm. So it'll be adjustment whenever he gets back on the ice.
Chime can't see his feet in the shower either, but that's a whole nother.
I don't have an issue with that at all.
Oh, I was gonna say
not the size of a Teletubby.
I know. I thought you were gonna do a joke about the Hitler thing that we talked about, the small wiener.
Yeah.
Judd, when it does come to the injuries, there are a lot of media personnel that are saying that that's the reason why the Bruins find themselves in these lulls throughout the beginning of this season. Do you fall in that category, and doesn't that fall on not being prepared when it comes to backups for this season?
Well, I don't fall in that category because injuries are a way of life in the National Hockey League. Is it a little bit more because of the compounded schedule this year? Probably. But Courtney, I think for every team this year, I think it's going to be a serious challenge because of the compressed schedule that you're going to have to dip down into the American League and try and find some reinforcements. Let's take the Bruins out of it. Take the Toronto Maple Leafs for an example. They're going through a slew of injuries. Auston Matthews is out of the lineup. I saw Brandon Carlo was just put on injured reserve. You got to find a way. There are plenty of teams around the league that, you know, I could probably look at around the standings that have some injuries that they're dealing with and are still finding ways to win. It's just a reality of life in the National Hockey League.
When you look at this Bruins team, what are you seeing from these younger guys right now?
Right now, they haven't necessarily seized the opportunity, Wiggy. I will say Jonathan Asperol, on a positive side, here was a guy who was moved up to play with Nikita Zadorov last night, and he didn't look out of place. That's a guy who's definitely seized his opportunity, and that was a different role for him. Marco Sturm decided he wanted to shake things up in his defensive pairs last night. The only pair that had a problem last night was Lindholm and Joki Haru. But Asperol did an excellent job playing with Nikita Zadorov, seeing a lot of hard matchups because Zadorov plays in a lot of key situations. But for some of the other younger guys, so you've seen Matei Blumel and Alex Steeves come up here. And I understand it is a limited sample size. And Marco Sturm has talked about the fact that even if you're a good player in the American Hockey League, it is a big step to come up to the National Hockey League and still be effective. And whether it's their puck play, their ability to score, how they defend, what they do away from the puck, what they bring on a night-in, night-out basis, it needs to be a little bit better.
I'm getting text messages from one or two who believe that this team is overperforming based on the roster. Do you believe they're all over me? Do you believe over or underperforming currently based on the roster that Marco Sturm has on this hockey team?
I can see how you're getting those text messages, but when I look at the Bruins just on the whole, what are they? They're 12-10. I think what they were hoping to be is in the mix. They are right in the mix. Maybe because of some of the extra games that they have played, they're a little higher in the Atlantic Division. So they've played 22 games at this point. Detroit has two games in hand. Montreal won, Tampa won, Ottawa won, Florida won. So they've cashed in because they've had a little bit of, they've had some more opportunities. It wouldn't necessarily surprise me to see the Bruins slide down in the standings as some of those teams catch up in their games played. But the goal for the Bruins at the start of the season, recapture their identity, be a hard team to play against, and then you'll be in the mix. And right now they are in the mix. They've still got three more tough games here on the trip. LA has played really well on the road. The one advantage the Bruins will have is they will be sitting and waiting for the Kings, who are playing tonight in San Jose. San Jose's been a lot better than a lot of people thought. And the Islanders, under Patrick Waugh, they've started a surge, and that's the way that the Bruins are going to end the trip. This will be a really difficult test. So I guess, Greg, what I'm saying is have those textures.
What happened?
Oh, no.
I don't know.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, wow. Send you something.
Oh, what's that?
Oh,
you cut out for a minute. Have the texters what?
Send you a message after this road trip and see how they feel. If the Bruins are still in the mix, then they've performed just as they had hoped.
Well, they're, with regard to Pasta and Geeky, there's a Rhode Island texter says it's a typical fraud take. By the way, it's what the head coach, Marco Sturm, said Monday night, is that he need, and you were there, I'm sure, for it, is that they need way more from the role players on this hockey team. I mean, it's not it's what Marco Sturm says, so.
Well, they need it's all hands on deck, especially now. You're missing three of your top six forwards in particular. Listen, the power play responded. I think the power play takes on extra importance when you're on the road because, listen, you don't have the crowd behind you. It's a great way to be able to build momentum. And the Bruins scored twice with it on only three shots. They came in last night, sixth in the league on the man advantage. Morgan Geekie, a couple of goals, 14. They've done their part. Three goals last night should have gotten you at least a point. It's how they defend. That's what has to be much better.
Judd, when it comes to... My gosh.
Okay.
Oh, my brain just completely shut off.
That's okay. It's a pregnancy thing, and, you know, we're
no, 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 I remember what I wanted to ask. I'm so sorry, Judd. I'm so sorry.
Don't worry, I've been there before.
I thought it was the Zoom connection.
No, I'm so sorry.
A mini stroke.
No, that was insane. It just went blank. Were you surprised with how the Johnny Beecher situation played out, them placing him on waivers and then he getting picked up? I know the hope was that he was going to clear waivers.
No, and maybe you were thinking about some In-N-Out burgers. Listen, I think Johnny Beecher, based on his performance in the preseason and in training camp, I think he was on the bubble. You know, as Marco Sturm mentioned, this is a fresh set of eyes, and he did not stand out whatsoever. In fact, there was a preseason game at Madison Square Garden against the Rangers. He was not very good, and there was a meeting, and his play started to pick up. He played well against Philadelphia and just well enough that he could make the roster, but I think he was on the bubble and on the bubble just barely. But if you look at some of the bodies that the Bruins brought in, guys like Mikey Aisimont and Tanner Janot, these guys outplayed him. Jeffrey Viel, who's been a useful piece coming in and out of the lineup. Hopefully he's okay. He got nicked up last night after he got body slammed to the ice by Radko Gudas at the Anaheim Ducks. But and listen, it's a tough league. I think he got outplayed by a lot of the guys that were brought into the roster. And as a result, he got picked up by Calgary.
Judd, enjoy the day off in Los Angeles, and we will talk to you again next week.
To In-N-Out I go.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Good rec from Wiggy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.